We're going to pick up where we left off. We were talking about, and this is in Paul's Mixed Multitude, Part 5, and at the end of Part 4 there, we were talking about a group that I called the U group. It's an understood part of the sentence that's only understood. It's not seen. The verse was 1 Corinthians 10:32. And if somebody wants to post from the King James Bible, that would help us all. But 1 Corinthians 10, verse 32, it says, "Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God." And this verse is telling them, the listeners, something. But who is the them that he's talking to? Paul wrote this, or dictated it. Who was the them? 1 Corinthians 10:32 means this: you give none offense. It's a advice or an order or a command. He says, you give none offense to the Jews, neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. So, what 1 Corinthians 10:32 is saying, before we get to that, let's count the groups there. Count the groups in that verse. Starting at the end of the verse, there's the church of God. That's one group. And that was like Daryl said at the close of the meeting yesterday, that was the ones that Saul of Tarsus had persecuted before he was saved. That church was in existence before Paul was saved. It was not the body of Christ. Church of God is Israel. It's the Israel of God, the kingdom church there in Jerusalem that sold everything to bring in the kingdom. Okay, the second group starting from the end would be the Gentiles. Gentiles in Paul's meeting there that he wrote to in Corinth. Gentiles mainly were the Greeks that had been in the Corinth synagogue in Acts 18, verse 4, I think it is. It calls them Greeks. The Gentiles that sought the wisdom and knowledge of God, where the scriptures were. God's scriptures were kept in the synagogue. And so they came in and... this isn't exclusively the Greeks, because it says Gentiles. There were other Gentiles that had come into the church by then, most probably. But that's generally what it's saying. Let's keep moving. And then the third from the end, or the second one. Second line on the way I've got it written. Neither to the Jews. That's the Jews. That's descendants of Jacob that are believers that Christ Jesus was the Christ. Let me think. This was written in Acts 19. It wasn't until Acts 20 that Paul wrote Romans 2:25, saying that if they don't obey the law, they're not. Not the circumcision anymore. So these were Jews, not the ones in the Church of God, put it that way, a different group. You can see I'm in Acts 14, verses 1 and 2. There were believing Jews and there were disbelieving Jews that stirred up the crowd and caused a riot. And eventually, I think those are the ones, weren't they, that came and stoned Paul. Anyway, we still have at least one more group in the verse. It's hiding. You can't see it at first glance, but the other group in the verse was the you, to whom Paul was talking. So, who was the you group to whom Paul was talking? Well, they're not one of the other three groups. They were one additional, different group. Or else Paul wouldn't have named the other groups separately from it, from those that he's talking to. If I say to John, "Don't hurt Bob," and he disobeys, then Bob would get hurt. That's different from saying to John, "Don't get hurt," and he disobeys, then John would get hurt. Bob is not John. The difference in the understood you before don't get hurt, in other words, you don't get hurt. That's the difference. Don't worry if you don't understand. That might not have been as clear of a example as I should have given. But anyway, you see in 1 Corinthians 10:32, you is understood. It's a different group from the three groups that Paul names in the verse. So there were four groups in Corinth, in the meeting that Paul was, well, it doesn't specify in the meeting, so I shouldn't either. It says that there were, let me go back to the verse here. Don't see it on the screen. Let me, give none offense. So he's talking to somebody, you. He's talking, not you and me, but to the people he's writing to. And there were four groups, though, in Corinth, in that verse, listed in that verse. One being the understood group, and that we're trying to determine who they were. Not only Jews, Gentiles, and Church of God, but also the you group, understood to be there, including the body of Christ, believers in the gospel of Christ. They went on from believing the gospel of God about who God, who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah that was prophesied, and that he did rise from the dead. They went on from that that makes them acceptable to hear and believe the gospel of Christ. They heard it, they believed it, and they were saved by it, by the gospel of Christ. They had come out of the synagogues together with those who had started to believe like the scattered little flock Church of God believers. Both of those two groups believed the gospel of God, that Jesus is the Son of God, the risen Messiah. The difference between those two groups, which had separated out from apostate synagogues, the difference was that only the body of Christ also believed the gospel of Christ, Christ crucified for their sins. They were claiming the grace of God would handle, pay for their sins by the Son of God dying for them, for their sins, on the cross of Calvary, and that God would raise him from the dead, with Christ having paid for all the sins, all sins. If you're not saved, your sins are paid for. You need to appropriate that forgiveness for those sins by believing that Christ died for your sins. That's the requirement. Faith. Believe it. Don't corrupt it by trying to add to it. Anything we add pollutes what Christ has done. Christ has produced the perfect gift. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. There we go. Paul knew that a main part of his commission was to preach the gospel, and to preach it to the remnant according to the election of grace that he names there in chapter 11. And to preach it to them before Israel's diminishing ended with their Acts 28 blinding and casting away. Let's look at Romans 11:5. Romans chapter 11, verse 5. Remember, this was written in Acts 20. In the Acts 20 time period. Even so then, at this present time, in Acts 20 in other words, also, there is a remnant. Now, a remnant is a small group of believing Israel. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. Now, don't get scared by the word election. It just means to choose, or election would be a choice, the choice of grace. They chose Paul's gospel instead of choosing the kingdom gospel, the circumcision gospel, it's called in Galatians 2:7. First Corinthians was written just after Paul separated out the local new believing. They were new at believing about the gospel of God. Separated out the little flock that newly believed that gospel of God, and they separated out. Paul separated out local in the area there, newly believing body of Christ believers from that local apostate synagogue. Not that that one synagogue was apostate. We read the verses yesterday showing all of the synagogues were under the rulership and leadership of apostate Jews that refused to believe that Jesus was the Messiah, risen from the dead. And they would throw anybody out of the synagogue that did believe that. So Paul spent 18 months teaching the word of God to that group, that split, I should say, not split, two-part group, put it that way. Part of it believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is, and they were still called into Israel's circumcision gospel. At that time, God was still calling people into two. There was one group that was shutting down. That's not a scriptural word. The scriptural word is diminishing, Romans 11:12. And they finished their diminishing by being cast away at the end of Acts 28. But at the same time, during that, eight-chapter span there, from Acts 13 to Acts 19, the seven chapters, I guess, the body of Christ was growing. And God was calling people into that, too, into the body of Christ. Depends on the individual and God's will. God knew who was going to believe when the gospel was presented to them, and which gospel was going to be presented, which gospel Christ would call them by. Let's look at the verses in Acts 18, in Corinth there, in Paul's visit to Corinth. This is just after he presented the gospel of God in the synagogue itself, and then separated out, welcome to the room, separated out those that believed the gospel of God, and he was ready to teach the gospel of Christ to them. So starting in Acts 18, verse 7, and again, it would help if you could see it in the screen there in the room, if somebody wants to post from the King James Bible. Acts 18, verse 7, and he departed thence. That's when he left the synagogue. Doesn't say whether he was forced out or not, but either way, he left the synagogue and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And that's that situation there that we talked about earlier, in a different lesson, it was like a duplex. One side of the wall was the synagogue, the other side of the same wall was this man's house where they went and met Paul taught in Paul's meetings, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. So all his house believed too. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Again, this is Acts 18, verse 8, so it's before Acts 18:22 when he got the temple vision, which is when I believe that's when when Christ told him, sent him not to baptize. He says in 1 Corinthians 1:17, I believe it is. So going on with verse 9, Acts 18:9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. That was still written in Acts there. It was written in the Acts 18 time period when he visited Corinth. 1 Corinthians that we read from before was written a chapter later. I don't know how much time later. It says he spent a year and a half there before he left at Corinth. So it was written in Acts 18, and those events were before Israel's blinding in Acts 28. And we said before, Christ was calling people, some people that maybe had heard the circumcision gospel before Paul was saved, but maybe they hadn't heard that Israel had fallen yet. We don't know all the circumstances, the ins and outs. All we know, if we would look in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20, it explains a lot. In writing 1 Corinthians, it was obvious, and an obvious goal of Paul to exhort those that believed his preaching of the gospel of God to also believe the gospel of Christ, to be saved into the body of Christ. But look what was happening at that time in those seven chapters there between Acts 13 and Acts 19. 1 Corinthians 7:17 is where we'll start and read four verses. But God, as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. It's Jesus doing the calling by the Gospels, by, you know, those that are to believe the Gospel of Christ would believe it and be part of the body of Christ. Those that were to believe the Gospel of the circumcision, as it says there, they would believe it and have the hope of the coming kingdom of which they would be a part if they endured to the end. Kept the covenants, kept the commandments, kept the Sabbath. You know, there were a lot of things they had to do in Israel. But the main thing they missed, most of Israel, the hierarchy missed, that being to believe that Jesus was the risen Messiah. Faith. The faith, what Paul preached, according to Romans 10, verse 8. Actually, the word Paul used in verse 20, in 1 Corinthians 7:20, let every man abide in the same calling, that word let, it's not a commandment. It's an allowance. It's grace. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. But those verses show that although the you group included all of Corinth's new believers in the gospel of God, yet some of those believers had, and some had not, gone on to believe the gospel of Christ to be saved. Not only was there a Jewish remnant that would elect grace or choose grace, but Paul's commission included gaining them and saving some of them before Israel's blinding. 1 Corinthians 9 helps us see that. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. That's Paul speaking in this section. Verse 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Now he was born a Jew. You wouldn't think he has to become one, but he had become a believer that Christ died for his sins, a body of Christ member. He had to plan out what he was going to do with the Jews to not offend them. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, who's under the law that's not a Jew? To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. That would be the Greeks, the Gentiles in the synagogues. Gentiles seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God. Verse 21, to them that are without law, as without law. This was in 1 Corinthians, written in Acts 19, after the Acts 18:22 temple vision. So he says, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that by all means, that I might by all means save some. That was his goal. Going on to verse 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. In other words, by seeing you, Corinthians, saved. In order to accurately understand this situation in Corinth, at least four Bible facts must be recognized and included. Now, I got these in my notes here. I'm going to run through them pretty quick because I don't think we need to dwell on these. But first of all, Paul's commission in Acts before Israel's blinding is to save some of the remnant according to the election of grace by preaching the gospel of Christ and preaching it to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That was his original, I shouldn't say original commission. The original commission was separating him unto the gospel of God. Then in Acts 13 he was received this commission called a work in prophecy. Actually, his commission wasn't called a work. It was what was going to happen to Israel, the awakening that Israel should have had was provided by Paul and in a dispensing of the gospel. So secondly, Paul shook hands at Jerusalem not to go to the true circumcision, to leave the true circumcision for the apostles and elders in Jerusalem to go after and to minister to disciple. They were there was no more going after unsaved people or bringing more people in. It was a maintenance kind of ministry. They were to minister to the true circumcision, which is what was already in their group there in the Church of God in Jerusalem. Paul, the rest of the people were fair game for Paul, the heathen. We got three and four to go. So three is the term Church of God uniformly refers to the little flock, the kingdom believers, the Israel of God. Israel, okay, not us. And fourthly, the Bible tells us in at least three places that Paul took believers in the gospel of God, including some that also believed the gospel of Christ, and he separated them all from the apostate Jewish synagogues. Those are four things that have to be considered, have to be included in an understanding of what was going on during that time. We're going to talk a little bit about Paul separating his believers in the gospel of God from the Church of God when that happened. See some examples of it. Paul departed from the synagogue, it says. He entered into believing Justice's house immediately adjacent to the synagogue. In fact, Justin's house joined to it, was built to it. The chief ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, believed And also many of the Corinthians believed when they got to hear Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And that all happened in Acts 18, verses 7 and 8. Not when he first arrived in Corinth. Not in... Welcome to the room. It didn't happen when he preached in the synagogue. He preached the gospel of God there. He separated them and then preached the gospel of Christ, the gospel of salvation. So that's key here. You have to understand that to see what's really going on and why some of the things were written that were written. They did not believe until they heard. And they didn't hear until it had been preached to them. And it had not been preached to them, at least, until Paul was sent to preach to them. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Romans 5, 1. And bring glad tidings of good things. There was that delay. Remember, we talked about the put Thessalonica under a microscope a few weeks ago. There was that delay in Thessalonica that put a spotlight on Paul's manner, the way he did things, his mode of operation. Paul had been allowed to preach the gospel of God in their synagogue there in Thessalonica. But before he could separate out the gospel of God believers, he was forced to leave Thessalonica. So he sent back Timotheus, his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish them concerning their faith. So they would be sure that they're believing the right thing. In other words, the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, it was called then. And that delay allows the seeker, any seeker, to see a detailed, dissecting view of the process that the Bible calls Paul's manner. And that was Thessalonica. But this is Corinth, okay? It was still Paul's manner, though. It's just not broken down because of the delay. You don't see it all step by step. Yep. So, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 9, Paul shook hands with James, half-brother of Jesus, Peter, called Cephas, and John, who pledged not to go. Well, they pledged to leave the heathen to Paul, and that they would go to the true circumcision. Let's read the verse, Galatians 2, 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So, in that time period, all of the gospel of God believers having been separated out of the apostate Jewish synagogue in Corinth, Paul again separated those electing Paul's, they believed Paul's gospel of Christ, which was the gospel of salvation. And he separated them out from those who were electing to remain the true circumcision, the church of God, believing only the gospel of God and Israel's covenant doctrine. So you had two groups in that one meeting, and Paul separated them out. You can see some windows viewing it. In 1 Corinthians 14, twice there, Paul mentions, if you read, I'm not sure of the exact verse. I'm trying to think what it's after. I can't recall. But twice in that chapter, he mentions something to the effect of that their meeting had a space for unbelievers and unlearned. So there was it was like an open meeting where people that weren't believers could come in and hear, but they had their own section, their own room or what space. I think room means there, like when Felix left in the room of Festus or whatever. I don't think it means an actual room, although it could. Doesn't really matter, I guess. So Paul would you can see by his destinations and his preaching, it was not Paul's calling to merely bring them from being apostate Jews to becoming true circumcision. That wasn't his calling. By adding to the Jewish doctrine the belief in the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Messiah risen from the dead. That he wasn't called to do that. He was called to preach that gospel, yes. Paul's calling was further than that. It was the gospel of God believers. It was calling them into the body of Christ by the gospel of Christ. So Paul writes back to them in 1 Corinthians, after he leaves in Acts 18, preaches in Corinth, and then he leaves in Acts 19. He writes back his 1 Corinthian, what we have as 1 Corinthian epistle, and in the second verse of it, 1 Corinthians 1:2, he's calling them those who had come out of apostate Israel to believe the gospel of Christ, being baptized by one spirit into the one body. 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, unto the church of God, which all those people were when they immediately came out of the synagogue before they heard the gospel of Christ, they all were church of God, believing Israelites, you could call them. They weren't believing when they were in the synagogue. The apostate synagogue was apostate, did not believe that Jesus was Christ. So Paul says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, that means set apart for a purpose, sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. They're called to be saints with all that in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Remember, calling on the name of the Lord, the name is the identity. It defines who he is. It helps you know you're talking about the one that came from heaven, had the Holy Ghost as his father and Mary as his mother. It identifies the name of Jesus Christ. Believe on the name of Jesus Christ means believe that he is the Son of God, the risen Messiah, resurrected Messiah. It's the same as believing the gospel of God. Those that don't believe in the name of Jesus would be those apostate synagogue rulers. So both the Lord of Israel's church of God and the Lord of the body of Christ, both theirs and ours, the verse ends with. Lord of both churches. Do you see the two churches mentioned there in that statement? Not by name, but they're included. Who was calling them to be saints? God was calling them by Paul's gospel of Christ. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the phrase, the church of God, refers to that little flock, the Jewish converts to the true circumcision. Jewish believers, they're called in one place the Israel of God. All those former synagogue Jews and Greeks who chose to believe the gospel of God that Paul preached in the synagogues and that Paul separated out, all of them were Church of God people before Paul preached to them the gospel of Christ. So that's why he can open the letter by just calling them all Church of God. Because at a certain point, that's what they all were, and without going into listing them, that addressed them. Now, from 1 Corinthians 1:9, we'll be talking about those that are sanctified, those that were called to be saints, and those who were to call on the name of the Lord. First, Paul went to Corinth in Acts 18, verses 1 to 18. That's where we read those verses about the synagogue and joined hard to the synagogue and what he taught and things like that. The "you understood" group that Paul later wrote to was one of the two groups to whom Paul addressed the Corinthian letter. "You understood" would be the body of Christ. Those that went on after believing the gospel of God, they went on to believe the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for their sins, and, you know, nothing more is needed, nothing more is allowed in the gospel. That's the gospel, that Christ died for our sins and rose on the third day. 1 Corinthians 1:2, "Unto the Church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours." So Paul wrote to the Church of God at Corinth, telling them that they are set apart, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Some of the apostate Jews who heard Paul preach about Jesus being the risen Messiah, some of those apostate Jews believed, but didn't immediately go on to believe that Christ died for their sins. In fact, all of those believing the gospel of God and quitting the synagogue had in effect become part of that scattered, believing little flock, the Church of God, before some of them went on to believe the gospel of salvation, the gospel of Christ, preached to them by Paul. And I believe that is the Church of God in Corinth that Paul addresses in 1 Corinthians, "Unto the Church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours," their Lord and our Lord. So that was what I call Paul's mixed multitude. Coming out of the synagogue, that mixed multitude consisted of Jews and Gentiles who believed Paul's preaching of the gospel of God. It was not all Gentiles at that time, it was not just any Gentiles, but it was the Gentiles that had been coming to God in the synagogue. They were called Greeks, seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God in the synagogue's scriptures. The Word of God kept there. We'll close here soon, and I am hoping to have time to do the following lesson right after a break here. We'll take a break. But just before we do, some of the Jews in the Corinth synagogue had been to or had heard about it at their annual required feast of Pentecost at Jerusalem, the year that Peter preached there. That's recorded in Acts 2 and Acts 3. Some of them had likely been there or heard of it. And a few weeks after Jesus Christ had been crucified and resurrected, Peter preached at the feast, at their feast, about the kingdom offer and their having killed their Messiah. 3,000 believed Peter's message and were added to the Matthew 16 church, Matthew 16, 18, where Christ said, I will build my church. It was being built. It was added to in Acts 2:47. That little flock of believers were set apart unto obedience. They had to obey. We'll break there. We'll come back after the break. Let's take a music break here. You can stand up and stretch.